Welcome to this podcast from Barla McCarthy. We hope you find insight and a catalyst for change in the topics we discuss. Now here is today's presentation.
I'm happy to welcome Dr. Jim Finale, who is the president and CEO for Care New England, currently a three-hospital system in Providence, Rhode Island. Prior to moving into this role in 2018, he was the chief medical officer, where he established a successful ACO and integrated all of the system's physicians into a single medical group. Since becoming CEO, Dr. Finale has led Care New England through some of its most challenging times, including rebuilding its financial foundation, establishing a stabilization and growth strategy, closing a community hospital, working through merger considerations, actually times two, a cyber attack, and two surges of COVID. It's leading through these challenges that Dr. Finale will provide thoughts and insights in this podcast. Prior to Care New England, Dr. Finale had leadership roles at Jordan Hospital in Plymouth, Massachusetts, Mercy Hospital in Springfield, Massachusetts, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts, and UMass Medical Center. Dr. Finale is an internist and geriatrician with a medical degree from Chicago Medical School and residency at UMass Memorial Medical Center. Thanks, Dr. Finale, for joining us today.
Welcome.
So, first question for you. When you were the CMO at Care New England and you were moving into the CEO role, having been in the organization already, what leadership style did you determine was needed going into the top position?
That's a good question. You know, when I had a number of roles here, as you know, for a piece. And then when the CEO said he was going to step down, we were in an organization that was, I would say, to say the least, pretty unstable. Operating performance was challenged at best. We had a non-performing hospital that was an asset in the state, but because of an intense Medicaid payer mix, it couldn't make it. So I was sort of delivered with an operational disaster, financially not working well. A lot of the operational infrastructure was really not pristinely done, and then a hospital that was failing. So I would say it was very unsettled times. And so when I came in, one, it was just to try to be pragmatic and emphasize operations, emphasize operating performance. You know, I would say that the manager team was a bit, you know, beaten down, always losing money. How do we get out of it? And although the organization felt it was really due to this failing hospital, it really was both. It was really the operating performance. So I think it was one of leadership, talking to people, communicating. And we demonstrated that operational, I think, efficiency by actually getting that hospital closed within a shorter period of time.
Great. And having worked with you as a consultant at Care New England and as an interim leader, one of the things I just recognized was a very high level of expectation and high energy that was required in the organization to be part of the management team. So how did you shift that culture from where it was in the past? How did you drive that energy?
You know, I've always had a little too much energy maybe, but I think a lot of the people were thirsty for it, quite frankly. And, you know, you have to identify the team. You have to go and evaluate the team and say, let's say a baseball team, I got 25 players and probably have to change out a few. And you got a few really great players and a few that you can bring up to speed, right? So it was analyzing the entire team, making the changes that were necessary, but really reaching down into the organization, finding the folks that really were thirsty for change, thirsty for performance, and who wanted to be led. And to me, that was actually critical, more critical than even, you know, changing out some folks. We did that, but it really was folks were dying to achieve. Folks were dying to be led. And I think that made it a little bit easier, maybe. But then when you set expectations and all of a sudden in a quarter, you had a positive performance. When heretofore you were losing so much money, people said, gee, this might work. And I can't underemphasize that early on, I decided that communicating was the way. So we held town halls like every 6 weeks or 2 months, face-to-face. I still write this weekly update on Wednesdays. I write it. Marketing doesn't write it. So when they try to change my style, it is because they won't, they'll know it's not me writing, right? So I think communication was key as well. Right.
So speaking of communication with your team, staff, and physicians, how do you balance the reality of the challenge while motivating them forward? And particularly with the physicians, they don't always come along as easily as we would like, sometimes kicking and screaming.
It's the same, parsing them into different categories maybe is a similar approach. Right, physicians are tough, and I think I know that. But I've had experience running a lot of physician groups, dealing with a lot of physicians through my career, from more collegial groups than others. So I think you got to assess the territory, figure out where everybody is. And one of the first things we did was take all of our physician groups and put them into one organization. Hospitals were employing physicians, and we put them all in one. That was a big challenge. That was not something that was greeted with a lot of support, but it was the right thing to do. We just held firm. And I remember one of our last hospitals coming in, I said, I've been, I think, 50 times with the physician leadership over the course of several months. Finally, we're going to do it. We have to do it. We got to do it. And if I blinked one time, like it was an option we weren't, would have lost it. So I think getting to know folks, a lot of them didn't have the support they needed. Some are always not going to be on board. But then you got to find the ones that are thirsty for change, thirsty for leadership, and hopefully leverage them. Doesn't always work well. It's not as easy, I would say.
Yeah. So was it to your advantage with them that you are a physician and you had all that physician group leadership experience versus, let's say, your predecessor who wasn't that?
So I think generally the answer is yes, but not always a slam dunk. So I've always seen patients, always continue to do that. Obviously, to a less extent, the years have gone on, but I think it always, and I'll tell physician executives now, is there, as you coach them and they want to take on administrative jobs or want to be more involved in management, I would say if there's any way to stay clinically involved, you need to. One is because that's critical to your nature, right? Because then people know that you came into this to do that work, and it's sort of at your core. Plus, man, there's nothing better than lending to your credibility as a leader, right? So when I went years ago, as you know, and I went from a 70% clinical administrative job at a health system, went to a health plan. And even though the docs didn't know it, they knew I saw patients a half a day to a day a week. They knew it. And that helped immeasurably on the credibility. So I think that's really, really important. So it's not just the letters after your name, because I've seen folks with letters after their name be leaders in health systems. They don't really resonate with the physicians. They may not have ever been. So getting your MD and then never practicing, the letters might help, but I don't think it helps you manage. I don't think it helps people to follow you.
Yeah, because what I hear you saying is that you can walk the talk because you actually are practicing in the operation. You're watching your experiencing the operation, its bumps, how it works, how it doesn't. Yeah.
Well, then you can ferret through what's reality or not. You know, I used to joke when I was, first worked for the administrator of the first group I worked for, and I was a clinical lead, physicians would come to them and say, I need another nurse in my practice or all my patients are going to die. I'm exaggerating. We've been, and he'd say, gosh, I better go hire that nurse or patients are going to die. Then I look at it and go, come on, really? So I think the credibility issue, not only is that you're credible, but you understand their plights. And it might be that they're knocking their heads against the wall saying, I can't do this because, and a lay administrator said, well, it's too bad. And I'd come and say, they can't do that because.
Yes.
And so when they're practical things that physicians will bring to you or other providers will bring to you, you know, credible or not, and you'll fix those. On the other hand, I would say, I can only see 8 patients a day because I'm tired. The issue is, well, that doesn't work either. So I think the balance is helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. So speaking of balance, how do you balance pushing your leaders while also providing support? Big job of a leader is doing both, right?
I would say not perfect at that. I think you've got to read the tea leaves of the day. I would say, so yesterday, right? I think I pushed pretty hard on some folks, but I understand it's trying circumstances. You just got to read their eyes, and you got to push when you think it's the right time to push. But when you don't think you're getting the traction, or you don't think people understand the gravity of the situation, you got to push hard. When you see people are getting to that point where you think you push too hard, you got to back off. I also know that if I push too hard one day, the next day I'll call and say, hey, I think I pushed a little bit too hard yesterday. I think they understand the sincerity that you bring to it. I think everybody, you know, I think we're blessed here with a great team, so they get it. So I think it's a balance. It's not easy sometimes, right? On the other hand, given the, you know, the tenacious desire for our folks to succeed, it's kind of a balance. It is a balance that one has to recognize.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're too passive and too soft and laid back, you're not going to get the performance you need. And one thing I've never sort of been slow to accept is that there's a quality issue with the patient service. There's quality that's an issue. You can't let that sit for a month or two because there may be a calamity that you don't want to regret. So in that area, I've always been really pretty aggressive and pushing, saying, if something happened today, we got to fix it today so it doesn't happen tomorrow. So.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, personally, I've experienced you when you said, I need to make sure you see I see the whites of your eye. So I know that, you know, what you say is true. You're looking around all the time to make sure everybody's still standing and not falling apart.
Yeah. I tell the folks, as you know, work for me and say, you got to look into the whites of the eyes of your people. You got to recognize when, and I've seen that in some of my people, and it's not uncommon. I say, okay, like tomorrow you should just work from home. Well, I know. Now that probably the next day you should take off. Well, what? I mean, I remember during the COVID disaster, one of the folks that was leading it, I basically said, you go home and turn your phone off. You got to have a day because we need you longer term. And we got to recognize that. Second thing is, I would say generationally things have changed. I'm probably a little bit crazy. I might do 9 million things, whereas people don't do those things much anymore. So you can't translate the generation which you were brought up into the newer generation. You have to accept that the world is different, folks are different, physicians are different, and you have to really, I think you have to adapt yourself to the environment which we live.
Yeah, good point. Last question is really now for you. How do you lead yourself during challenging times? So you're always as best as you can, bringing the best to the organization. How do you do that for yourself?
Well, that's not easy to answer, but you know, I think that, you know, as someone who's driven, you know, you also have to try to have some balance of normalcy. I used to, this might sound really weird, but I used to say, I don't look at anything on Friday night. People say, what? Yeah, I just won't look at anything Friday night. I go home and I got a pile from the week to get through, and I always clean up everything by Sunday night. But on Friday, I try not to look at anything. You know, it's tough, but you also have to remember, you know, and I grew up in a different generation, and as the kids grew up and you did different things, but you got to try to balance and you know, everything is unique to your own individual. How do you do things? How you handle family life? How do you decompress? We all have our own ways of doing it, but I think it's important you do that.
Yes. And so, yeah. And what I hear you saying is figure that out for yourself, and you got to build it in order to stay standing and keep going forward.
Yeah. I think you got to figure it out yourself, and what works for me may not work for somebody else. Throughout a weekend of catching up, people get emails from me all day long and in the evening. Well, that's because, you know, I might do some for an hour or two, then I'll start looking at some work and I'll respond by email or got the computer in front of me. I'd rather spread it out over 2 days and do it all at once sometimes. So people think I'm doing it 24 hours a day, Saturday and Sunday. I'm really not.
Yeah.
But it appears that way. And it's because I manage my stuff the way I manage. So.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody has a different style around that. Then your expectation is going to do it the way you do it.
So I have some younger leaders that have a young family. If I need to talk to them, I kind of remember I probably between 6 and 8 o'clock won't call.
Right.
Because either they're hanging with the kids in the bathtub, putting them to bed. And once in a while, gosh, I call them. I shouldn't have. So I'll text them saying, when everything's settled down tonight and the kids are asleep, give me a call for 5 minutes. Right. I train myself to try to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think I've got a little better at that because I really don't want to interfere with that stuff. That stuff's far too important. You know, on the weekend, if parents are taking the kids to soccer games, they say, we got to talk. Tell me when you can, right? If there's an emergency, there's an emergency. But generally, you can manage those according to the timetable of the people that work for you. But you got to recognize what they're doing in their lives and recognize it's important.
Yes. Yeah. So thank you for your time this morning. I really appreciate it. It's been great. Clearly, Care New England has gone through immense challenges over the years. You've been doing that for a long time. I don't think you've had a break since you've been there, but here's hoping.
You're not going to get any easier anytime soon, I tell. But.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Finale provided us with great insights about how to lead during challenging times. A quick summary might help to identify those takeaway lessons that he shared with us. First, he noted that purpose and direction were critically important for him, particularly as he walked into the CEO position. For his organization, it was all about achieving financial stability through operational improvements. And added to that, anything that could harm clinical quality required immediate action. The bottom line is that the message leadership needs to be giving during trying times needs to be one done with intentionality and clarity of focus. For this provides the anchor that is needed for the team to move forward. The next key takeaway was identifying the right leaders. In Dr. Finale's case, he identified those that were hungry to perform and achieve results. Like in his case, these individuals may already be within the organization and just need to be given the opportunity to apply their energy to a new purpose. We may not have to bring in everybody that's needed from the outside. We may have talent already existing that are just looking for something new. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Dr. Finale believed that needed to be done with consistency and openly through himself. He used town hall meetings and still to this day does weekly emails to keep the team focused and steadily moving forward. Finally, was his point about balance, balancing your personal time with your professional time. Knowing what that is for yourself, as well as what it needs to be for other leaders. He mentioned the generational distinctions that also need to be recognized and that pushing for performance is important to get results. Can't be soft on that, in his words, but it needs to be balanced with providing support and time away for nourishment. I hope you enjoyed his commentary as much as I did, and that it helps you and other team members to think about how to lead in challenging times.